The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hello and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Kay Murray joined by Ali Moreno. Lots to get through in the show a little later on. We'll be hearing from Craig Burley and Shaka Hislop as we look ahead to a massive game in the FA Cup this weekend between Manchester United and Liverpool. But we will be starting in the Bundesliga. Borussia Dortmund losing to Borussia Mönchengladbach. We'll be hearing from Jan Agerfjordtoft about this game. 4-2 it finished to the host. It had been Dortmund who dominated the fixture in recent years. They'd won the last 11, but it wasn't to be in what was an exciting game in the Bundesliga, and things really aren't looking so great for Terzic's men right now. They are slipping down to the table. They are out of the top four. Jan, I'd have to say, is this turning into something more serious, something of a crisis for Dortmund?
It is, absolutely. First of all, it was a great, great football game. There was 6 goals, 2 Haaland goals, very predictable. It's also predictable that Dortmund at the moment defensively are terribly sad to watch. It's like Mats Hummels is a world champion. He can't defend. He's going forward, he's doing well. He can do his Cruyff trick at the end, but you have to defend. And you don't have a goalkeeper. Bürki is terrible at the moment. And I mean, the second goalkeeper must think, what should I do to get a game hits in this game, because that was unbelievable. 3 set pieces they conceded, and it's just sad to watch them. They fired Favre because they wanted to get closer to Bayern. I mean, if they're unlucky this weekend, they could be in the 8th position. And they say Terzic will going to stay for the rest of the season. Well, let's see what's going to happen in Dortmund. Yes, it's a crisis. And the funny thing and the interesting thing, Marco Rose, the coach of Gladbach, winning 4-2 today. Great coach. He is the favourite to take over, but first in the summer. So they have to do something at Dortmund at the moment.
Is it a case of defenders optional, defence optional today?
Defending optional, yes. And really in key moments. They go down 1-0. All right. But Erling Haaland, who, again, was outstanding in that first half in the way that he took his goals. The first goal, that nice little dinky over the top finish, good movement of the ball. The second goal on a resource in terms of knowing where the goal is, turns, finishes the play. And it's 2-1, and his Dortmund is flying, and they feel really good about themselves. And now you give up a free kick on top of the 18-yard box. And as Jan just alluded to it, well, Lars Tindall takes a free kick that should be comfortable for Roman Bürki. Even if he sees the ball late, it should be comfortable for at least for him to palm the ball away. Instead, he palms it right into Elvedi, who's right there for a nice little tapping. Okay, 2-2, we're fine. Okay, no problem. Let's see if we can build some momentum going into the second half. Well, you're never going to build momentum when you allow Ben Sebaini to do what he did. From the left-hand side, overlapping run, he cuts to the inside. And Manuel Akanji, once the poor defender, Julian Brand, Manuel Akanji, he now stands on the 6-yard box, hands in the back like this, okay, uh-huh. And he never, never concerns himself with actually closing the space down and actually challenging Ben Sebaini. He scores the 3rd goal, and from then on, Mönchengladbach took off 4-2. But overall, you just sense from Borussia Dortmund that the defending is just so disorganized, so stretched. The games are exciting to watch when Dortmund plays because there's a lot of space. And why is there a lot of space? Because they're disorganized all over the place. Some people go on and press the ball, other people drop off. At times the team gets stretched, and at times when they try to defend, they never get behind the ball in enough numbers. There is no sense here when you watch this team play defensively, and you can say the same thing for Mönchengladbach, by the way, that you have a plan defensively. This is what we're going to do. This is our line of confrontation. We're going to high press when we have an opportunity to do so. We're going to drop off behind the ball when we have to do so. They're kind of just running all over. And when you just run all over, you get exposed. And when you get exposed and you have no confidence that Dortmund doesn't have right now, you lose games.
Yeah, one person who's never shy of any confidence, Jan, is Erling Haaland. He was not happy at all after this game. Can you elaborate a little on what he said?
Yeah, then I have to beep because he was.
Well, just miss that was bit
there. I will miss that. I've learned my lesson by you, by the way. He was. You can see the last 10 minutes as well. This was a man on a mission. So it was first the communication he had on the pitch. He was running all over the pitch. In the 82nd minute, he is more or less the libero of the team. He's running all over the place. And after it was the words he used was awful. It's not good enough. And then he had some swear words in there to just describe how he felt at the moment. And of course, this is for the young lads in these teams. There was some great goals. The second goal of Haaland today was Sancho to Bellingham, Bellingham to Sancho, Sancho to Haaland, 17-year-old, 20-year-old. I mean, they got the biggest talents in the world, but the biggest talents wants to win football game. And who are the leaders in this team? There should be Can, there should be Hummels. Hummels is all over the place, as Ali said, and they should lead by an example. The problem Dortmund got at the moment is I think they have been fascinated by their own way of playing. No, they need to get more compact. They have to get a bit more organized, get the team in shape again. But they all want to do this young Harlem Globetrotters kind of fancy stuff, what they're doing. Entertaining, yes. They can't get even European League if they go in there, and they will never get Champions League if they keep on playing like this.
Yeah, and you do wonder if them playing like this means that they can keep hold of a player like Erling Haaland. Here's what's coming up this weekend in the Bundesliga. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Massive game this weekend in the FA Cup. It's the fourth round. It's a clash between Manchester United and Liverpool, and the odds makers cannot split the two teams. We will see if our panel can, though, as we do welcome in Craig Burley and Shaka Hislop to look ahead to this massive one. Craig, for which manager is a good result more important in this game?
I would probably say Jurgen Klopp. Because all of a sudden the tables have turned somewhat with recent Premier League results. How important it takes this competition now remains to be seen, because, you know, they're not out of the Premier League title race. They can turn that around, but in their current guise, that's unlikely. But in terms of the points, it's doable. But they need to get some momentum going. And so I've always believed that this competition is a great chance to get some momentum and get that league run up and going again, and put a challenge on and put a run together. So I would say for him, this is a bigger game, because he needs to get that team clicking again.
Craig, just to stick with what you said there, is there a thinking that maybe after the run of results that Liverpool have had, this could be just what they need, a game of this magnitude that they have to rise to the occasion for?
Yeah, see, I'd like to see him play the strongest side that he can, and for all those reasons that I mentioned, try and build some momentum. Because when you get bad result after disappointing result, and you start to fall behind in the title race like they have, then that can spiral quite quickly. And you know, we know Liverpool are a little flat by their standards at the moment. Lots of players not playing particularly well. So you need to try and shake that and brush that off somewhere. And look, this game stands on its own in terms of the rivalry between the teams. And it is a great chance for Liverpool to get the likes of Mo Salah, to get the likes of Sadio Mane and Roberto Firmino and others back on scoring form, back on winning form, and getting a bit of confidence back in that Liverpool side. So I see it as an opportunity for Jurgen Klopp, and for Man United for that matter, but for Jurgen Klopp to play a strong team and try and put a marker down and say, listen, Some of you have written us off already, but here's what we can do.
Shaka, would you agree with what Craig's saying?
Absolutely. I think this is a far bigger game for Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool, given the form that they're in, and probably the perfect opponent in how good they've been. You beat Manchester United convincingly, even in the FA Cup fourth round. I think it breeds a renewed confidence to Liverpool, a confidence that they've lacked for quite some time. And even though we're playing football without fans, you know exactly what it means to the Liverpool faithful. On the other side of that same coin, the only huge motivation to this, aside from just the natural Manchester United-Liverpool derby undertones to it, is that Manchester United were very disappointing in the League Cup semi-final against City rivals in Manchester City. Maybe you want to bury that ghost, but even then, I'm grabbing at straws. What it comes right down to for me here, Kay, is that Manchester United right now are playing by far the better football. Liverpool are struggling for confidence, struggling for any kind of form, and United could do a lot of damage to their own league aspirations, albeit to Liverpool's league aspirations, albeit this is in the FA Cup.
I like for Shaka to clarify what he said, burying ghosts. How do you go about burying a ghost, Shaka?
Well, what's the term I'm looking for?
Well, not burying a ghost.
What was I looking for?
Not that. I'm going to tell you that. Not that, Shaq. Oh, my goodness.
Look, we're going to bring in the starting 11 against Burnley, Liverpool starting 11. Now, what we do know is that Klopp rested Salah and Firmino. He did bring them on, as you can see, in the 57th minute, Ale. That could show he's taking the cup seriously, although he does have a big run of games ahead. But when you do bring on players like this that you have rested, should you be expecting them to come and turn a game like this around?
At their best, yes. At their best, you're hoping that you're going to get a productive Mohamed Salah, that you're going to get the movement Roberto Firmino. The problem that you're seeing from Liverpool and some of their attacking players is that in the case of Mohamed Salah in particular, if he's not scoring goals, he's not giving you much more. Roberto Firmino is a guy that doesn't really score goals prolifically. And so for him, it's more natural to kind of run around and get touches on the ball and assist a goal here and there and kind of get involved in the buildup of the play and so on and so forth. But Salah doesn't get involved. He just parks himself on one side of the field. And if he's not scoring goals, he doesn't give you a lot more than that. And then that limits what you do on that particular side of the field, wherever he may be. So they need a better version of him, a more productive version of him. They need Sadio Mane to be the guy that takes players 1v1. They need more creativity coming out of the midfield, more of a presence in the attacking half coming out of the midfield. They need somebody to score a goal, because it's really difficult to see that graphic that we just saw where Liverpool hasn't scored a goal or scored only one goal since December 19, and they haven't won a game since December 19. A whole month of Liverpool not winning games and a whole month of Liverpool not really scoring. That's hard to believe for a team that we've considered to be explosive and dynamic. They have been everything but that over the last month or so.
And I think in that time, there's been effort after effort. Craig, what can Klopp do about a situation like this when the forwards just aren't scoring, even though the chances are coming?
Let me just say before I answer that, I feel as if I've let the side down today, because even Shaka's got a shirt on. And here I'm sat. Here I'm sat here with a hoodie on. Mr. Casual here, so.
Have you got your granddad slippers on as well?
If Shaka has a shirt on.
Yeah, that's the bar. What can he do? He can play them. He can try and get the supply line up to them. You can't really do much about it when you're going through a hard time. You've just got to keep plugging away. But if you look through where the problems are in this Liverpool side, and I do think, depending on the team selection, that United are favourites for this game, because the worm has turned, in my opinion. You look at the problems, some of them are glaringly obvious and others are not. I mean, Ali mentioned the goals and the flatness up front. That's true, for sure. The lack of an alternative to Roberto Firmino that I've been crying out for a while. Somebody that can come on and, when the whipping ball's in the box, is a penalty box striker. There's been literally no goals from the middle of the park. I think one from Henderson and one from Wijnaldum. and that's it. That's just not good enough, particularly when your strikers are not scoring. You need somebody then from the middle of the park to get making runs into the box and be chipping in, like all the good teams did over the years, like the Scholes for United, like Lampard for Chelsea, like Gerrard for Liverpool. The list goes on. And then you look at the problems they've had at the centre-back position and having to drop Fabinho back in there. So it's been clear. But I think one of the biggest issues that they've had and it's been overlooked is the fullbacks. You know, Trent Alexander-Arnold has been having a much more problematic season. His form has dipped. He's had injuries. Andy Robertson is still getting up and down like a Trojan, but that final quality's not there. And you can't underestimate, Kay, how much progression and progressive they were when their fullbacks were absolutely flying. That's where their biggest attacking threat was coming from. Yes, they played all this nice football. Yes, they controlled games. Yeah, the front guys were great. But it was all about Robertson and Alexander-Arnold flying down that wing at pace, quick tempo football and good quality into the box. I think Liverpool have lost a step in that department. And I think that's one of the main reasons why they've not been playing as well.
Yeah, problems all over the pitch. Klopp himself said they can't even think about the title right now. Do you think that their title chances are slipping away because of these reasons?
No, look, I don't agree with that. Look, this Liverpool team, you know, we know they're good enough, right? The question is now, can they turn that around? He moaned and groaned at the start of the season and then well into the season about everything, about substitutions, about broadcasters, about scheduling. And I think that, in some sense, had an adverse effect on his players because players listen. But there's no doubt that they're good enough. And the games that they've got coming up, obviously, they're not going to be easy at Tottenham, you know, at West Ham, who've been going well. But the bottom line is they've got to get results. And look, I always felt this season would be a more difficult one for Liverpool, but not as difficult so far as it's turning out. Because if you think about it, you know, over the last 3 or 4 years, you had City on 100 points and then on sort of 99, I think it was. You had Liverpool on 98 and losing the league and then in 98 or 99 when winning the league. I think to ask a team to do that for a third season is unlikely. Even City themselves couldn't do it. Last year, they had quite a drop-off. So the drop-off's not unexpected from Liverpool, but the how far they've dropped so far is quite the shock.
Well, the fact that it's a cup game, Craig, has to make it more exciting than the last time these two faced off. Would you care to give us a prediction?
Yeah, unless things change drastically and Solskjaer plays a much, much weakened side, I'm going to go for a United win. And, you know, maybe he'll play a strong team, Jurgen Klopp, and they'll turn that around. But I kind of get the feeling he'll go the other way and play more of a hybrid. And I don't think that's the right way to go in terms of getting a result this game or for, as I say, building momentum, like I mentioned earlier.
Who have you got, Shekhar?
I have Manchester United. I think both teams play as strong a team as, or very close to full strength teams. And in all honesty, as we sit right now, Manchester United, between the two, are by far the better. I think they win it 2-0.
Ale, before we came on, you said it's not often this season that you would have had more faith in Manchester United going into a game like this. Who are you going for?
Yeah, it's really hard to believe that we're at this point of the season and halfway through the year, and you look at both of these teams, and going into this match, you trust Manchester United more so than you would Liverpool. But this is the kind of moment in which Manchester United has let their fans down, and so therefore, I'm going to take Liverpool. They're going to rise up, and they're going to play well, and they're going to be dynamic, and they're going to score enough goals, which means they're going to win 1-0.
Well, it would be a good time to do so with the schedule that you have seen ahead. Listen, for more football content, debate and discussion, head over to our YouTube page, ESPN FC. You can stay up to date with everything that's going on in the beautiful game. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com. New year, new start for Arsenal. They've been having a clear out, the highest profile name on that list, Mesut Ozil. His contract has been terminated. Sokratis, Kolasinac and Saliba on their way out, but it means they're making some room to bring some new players in. And it's said that young Martin Ødegaard, the 22-year-old Norwegian, is closing in on a loan deal to go to Arsenal until the end of the season. Jan Agafjortov joins us now. It's a player you know well, Jan. Do you think this will be a good fit for him in the Premier League?
I know him very well. I was a manager of the Norwegian national team when we took him in as a 15-year-old, and he was sitting in this house with a national coach, myself and my father, when Real Madrid then was his final choice. And he had four clubs on his list at that time where he will go. So if you ask me, was Arsenal on the list? Yes, Arsenal was on that list. A player like Martin Ødegaard is nothing confirmed yet. We'll see where he will end up. I think that one chance would go back to Sociedad. Sociedad said, well, unfortunately not going to happen. Yes, he's a good football player. And I say that with a big F. He knows how to adjust himself on the pitch. He can fit to that Arteta way of playing the way they want to play. So if he goes to Arsenal, I think that would be a good move for him.
Are you surprised to see him move in LA? Because there was a lot made of it at the beginning of the season when Zinedine Zidane recalled him after a wonderful season with Real Sociedad, one of the standout players in La Liga in the 1920 season. Zidane doesn't usually call a player back unless he's going to use him. And now this?
He used him early. And he tried to sort of play Ødegaard in an underneath position, underneath the strikers, and an advance sort of in between the midfield and the strikers, and have him float around. And there were some slightly bright moments, but not enough consistency. And we know this very well. At Real Madrid, you get three or four games, and that's about it. A player that is sort of borderline, and Ødegaard was borderline. Is he really going to be a part of this project or not? Is he going to be part of the future or not? He was right there on the verge. If he had played well those three, four games, then maybe you continue to give him that confidence. But he wasn't playing all that great. Real Madrid was not playing all that great. And Zidane had to make some changes. The one thing I would say about this version of Real Madrid and Martin Ødegaard is the fact that if there was ever a version of Real Madrid in which you could make a difference and needed a playmaker and needed a guy that was creative in the attack, this is it. It's this version of Real Madrid. They are limited in terms of that creativity, limited in terms of not only creating chances for yourself, creating chances for others, passing, movement of the ball, because you haven't gotten that from Eden Hazard. You haven't gotten that with consistency from guys like Isco. And so therefore, you needed Ødegaard to be that guy. And he wasn't. And so Zidane then makes the decision, you know what, he's not for us. And so I'm not surprised that this is happening. And I'm actually glad that the player gets an opportunity. If indeed he goes to Arsenal, he gets an opportunity to go and try to find a solution somewhere else.
Do you think that's what's happening there, Jan? Because it seems as though Real Madrid aren't quite ready to let him go fully, just a loan deal till the end of the season. Are they hoping to see more from this player?
I think they do. I think they haven't given him up. I agree that what's been said about this was a great chance. Maybe I would like to see him fight for that possibility, because the Real Madrid team we see now is not what we have seen when the greatest performance they have had. I always said in the first period he had at Real Madrid, I always said to Martin Ødegaard, can you text me when you are kicked one of the great stars of that team? Because I think that to take that move into a Real Madrid is not just about your technique or your vision and how you play. You have to have that synonym of your game. You have to have that toughness of your game. And I agree, Martin hasn't been, when he had the small chances as a young player, still a player who wants to join a project. If you then get 10 minutes, you have to take those 10 minutes. If you get a game, you have to take that game. And I think that is the thing, that he's been impatient, the club has been impatient, and if it now is going to be, he had a good stay in Holland, he had a good stay in Real Sociedad, and I remember some years ago, I was when he was going to Real Madrid, they always told me, the advice must be just go to Real Madrid, because if you are at Real Madrid, you will always find another club always find a good loan to another club to maybe take the next step. And it's all up to Martin Ødegaard, wherever he will end up.
Well, Jan and Ali will both be joining me later on Extra Time, and you can catch it over on YouTube if you'd like to hear the guys and see our questions.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, that will do it for the latest edition of the show. Thank you so much for being with myself, Kay Murray, and Ali Moreno, from Shaka, from Craig, from Jan as well. And I probably should mention Craig's hoodie. We'll say goodbye to you.
What about Shaka's ghost?
Shaka's ghost as well. And we hope you all enjoy the games this weekend. Time for Extra Time with Ali Moreno and Jan Agapiotov. We've had a couple of Bundesliga questions to kick off this edition. Jan, for you first. Mohamed Shaquille says, when Lucien Favre was sacked, Dortmund were just 3 points behind Bayern Munich, which is now 10 points. Do you think they made a mistake and should have waited for the remaining 6 months of the season to make a decision? He was clearly better than Edin Terzic.
Absolutely, but they wanted a change, and we know the dynamic of a football. You are under pressure, you want to do something, but it's also a fact, the table. And he has had 7 games now, 1-3, 1-draw, and he has lost 3 of them. And they are now 10 points as we're speaking behind Bayern. It could be 13 if Bayern beat Schalke tomorrow. So that, then it's failed. And now their light must be set on Azor, Sebastian Kehl, Watzke, Matthias Sammer. So at the moment, that hasn't paid out. And they say he will keep him for the rest of the season. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. We've got another question for you, actually, from Pearson McDonald. It's another German-related one.
Okay.
Jan, if Chelsea FC sack Frank sometime this season, do you think that there is merit in them turning to a German and or a Bundesliga head coach for the position?
I know where I want to go, because if they... You could sack Frank Lampard now. There is only more or less one big coach that is available, and that's Thomas Tuchel. We know that the representatives of Thomas Tuchel have been in a dialogue with Chelsea. Does that mean Frank Lampard will be sacked? That I don't know. But you need a coach then to be available. And at the moment, there are not many of them. Thomas Tuchel could fit the bill. He could also fit the Chelsea bill. So yes, Thomas Tuchel could be at one stage the new manager of Chelsea Football Club.
Did you see that, Ali?
Yeah, but I think a lot of things got to go very wrong at Chelsea for them to take that final step. And I know things haven't been going well for Chelsea lately. But man, you don't just get rid of Frank Lampard. I think it's going to take some time still. And I don't think it happens in the middle of the year either.
OK, let's stick with you then, Ali. Frank McManaman says, will Man City be able to keep up their great run of form now that De Bruyne will be out for around 6 weeks? Is this the perfect opportunity for Manchester United to take the lead in the title race?
Well, technically, they are in the lead. but yeah, I take Frank's point here in suggesting that it seems lined up for Manchester United that if there was ever an opportunity to find some results that create some separation, that this would be the moment because, well, you would assume that there's going to be a letdown without Kevin De Bruyne on the field for Manchester City. But I have to tell you, Manchester City and Pep Guardiola have found ways without Kun Agüero, who's also absent because of COVID, and they have found ways throughout the season in just defending a lot better than they ever have under Pep Guardiola. And in the end, I think that's what's going to be the difference for Manchester City. They continue to defend like this with Ruben Diaz, how well he has played, and they're going to give themselves enough opportunities to win games, even if it is 1-0. So Manchester United got to continue winning games, put some pressure on Manchester City, and see if indeed Manchester City can withstand that pressure. But I still think, even without the absence of Kevin De Bruyne, that Manchester City may just be the favorite. Slight, but may just be the favorite.
I think Manchester United are actually the favorites for Jan, though. Isn't that right? Would this help them out, the fact that Kevin De Bruyne will be missing for a while for City?
Well, we are a small nation. We will always support our fellow countrymen, like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I spoke to Ole Gunnar today. We made an interview before the FA Cup on Sunday that we have here in Norway. But I agree on the things that things are doing at the moment. Van Dijk out for Liverpool, Wardy for Leicester, and now De Bruyne for Manchester City. But I think that they're well advised, Manchester United, to concentrate on themselves. I mean, they found a way. They found a good way to play. I think they were solid against Fulham. But there are so many teams up there. We're not even talking about Liverpool. I mean, Liverpool will come. Leicester, Everton, Tottenham. I mean, Tottenham, Mourinho is there. I mean, this is an open race. And for everybody who loves football and have other favorite teams away from that gang of clubs, then we will say it's a fantastic year of the Premier League.
Well, the next question actually involves Liverpool and Mourinho. Ahmed Habab says, how is no one making a bigger fuss about Klopp's tantrums? If it were Mourinho or Pep, it would have been a bigger deal. Do you think so?
Well, the thing is that it's easy to pick on Mourinho whenever he goes crazy because he has been going crazy for a while. And the attitude sometimes petulant and arrogant and what have you, and the way that he has dealt with the media in the past. And so there is far more background in terms of what Mourinho has done for somebody to pick at and say, there's Mourinho complaining again, or there's Guardiola complaining again. What I would say about Jurgen Klopp is that it's starting to turn to where it's cued when he was complaining, or it was cued when he was jumping and celebrating, or he was running to the stands or turning to the fans, and the passion, that whole passionate approach of Jurgen Klopp that has been cued for a while, because the team is not winning, and then that passion seems to be turning to, well, he's a little whiny now. He's just complaining about this, that, and the other, and we don't have enough players, and we don't have enough rest, and he's complaining about the coverage of the team and TV pundits and things that he wasn't getting involved with before. Now he seems to be preoccupied, and I don't think it's a coincidence with the fact that it all seems to be coming along the same time that his team is struggling and struggling to score goals and struggling to win games. Frustration will show itself, and Jurgen Klopp is no stranger to that right now.
All right, next up, Jan, Ritvik Gautam says, how does the dressing room react when the rumours of the manager getting sacked start gathering momentum? Have you been in that situation?
Yeah, it's a very good question, because sometimes in a dressing room, it's funny about footballers. I mean, they say we are not the most intelligent guys, but we are very good at sniffing and understanding, analysing the things between the board, the manager, and sometimes that could be unrest in a dressing room, make an unrest in the dressing room, because you kind of hide yourself behind the manager because it's the manager's fault. You read the papers, you will talk to agents, family, friends, people in and around the club, and you can kind of, that could be an excuse. We are bad at the moment, like Dortmund at the moment. They could say, yeah, we are bad, but we've got an inexperienced coach, or we're not compact enough, we don't defend on set pieces. We can just blame it on the manager. If you have a great manager who's strengthened by your board all the time, then the highlight will be on yourself. Having said that, it's also a lot of managers that sometimes get away with looking like they're always talking we, and they are always thinking me. They followed my tactic in the first half, but they didn't in the second half. Okay, is that the leader that you want? But it's an interesting question, because in the dressing room, there are always this talking, and a famous Scottish manager, Jock Stein, he said, I mean, the philosophy I have is to keep the 6-1 in the team who hates me away from the 5 who haven't made a decision yet. And I think that just sums up a football team.
Did you used to be able to sniff out when that was happening, LA?
Well, I think when you've been part of a team, you not only know your teammates very well, but you also know the backroom staff very well. And you know the people that work in the office very well. And so things start filtering down from the office onto the backroom staff, onto the players, and you start saying, and we're not playing well, and that guy's not scoring goals, and you start adding things, and in the end, you know that it's inevitable that something's about to happen. You also know that there is 26 players, 30 players in the locker room, and they can't get rid of all of us, so this guy's about to go. When that happens, then I think the most basic instinct for a player is to protect yourself. You try to see, okay, what can I control? What is the one thing that I can control? And okay, my work rate, my effort out there, doing my job, but I'm not concerned about what that guy is doing. I'm concerned about how do I take care of my individual job? And that only serves to make the things even worse for the team, because as in a team sport, you need everybody to work for each other. It doesn't quite work that way when you are expecting the manager to get fired.
I love that, protect yourself. But, said like a true goal scorer, selfish.
Yeah, but I will say, because Ali and Mia, we are very polite now, because we have had a long We had a long football career, and sometimes there are cliques in the dressing rooms as well among the players who will try to get the manager out. And I confess, in January of 2021, I've been part of those kind of actions in my football career, and the manager got fired. So sometimes it could turn around the both ways.
I see two of them selfish in this aspect.
Little do we know that it was going to take a pandemic, COVID, 2021, for Jan to come forward and say, it was my fault. I did it.
Well,
I didn't say who.
But seeing as though you are revealing your secrets, Jan, this is perfect for the next one, because Elahi Noah says, what's the secret to Jan's perfect long hair? I guess being tension-free and smiling helps.
Yeah, it helps to smile. But when I played football, I always wanted to be that football player with that long hair that always was a cool guy. I wanted to be the George Best and all these wild people. But I was so annoyed in games. If my hair was a bit longer, I always thought that was the reason I didn't score. So I always had short hair when I played. And after I get older, then I have the long hair. I look like an old rocker from another time sometimes. But I keep my long hair now. I played in Germany and everybody had the same haircut. Even in TV, they had the same haircut. And I thought, well, I let my hair go long now. So that was another secret here.
I have to say, I like to smile. It doesn't help with my hair. that's falling whether I like it or not.
Well, that's all right. You are still scoring the goals and doing well, Ale. Last one then. In order from best to worst, rate Chelsea signing, says Soufiane. Well, that's a bit mean,
wow.
Isn't it?
Hello.
And they're asking me. I know what they're asking me.
Okay, because they're asking you. So yeah. We'll let you answer then.
Yeah, well, I can take the first part of it. I'm just saying they're asking me because I said, yeah, you signed Timo Werner. He will score a lot of goals for you. Yeah, you signed Kai Havertz. He's one of the greatest talent Germany got at the moment. And he is. He's been a bit unlucky with form, adjustment, COVID he had. But I don't want to rate them yet. Let's give them a bit more than a few months before we do the final rating.
Shall we be kind, unlike you guys were in the dressing room when you heard the manager was
I am
sex.
Polite. I don't get people fired, unlike Jan. I don't do that.
You are not honest.
I don't get people fired. My hair is falling. I don't
you
know what's happening.
You are not honest.
2021 is when Jan reveals his true self. Maybe 2022 is when Ale will.
Well, I got to tell you this. If I were a coach that was fired while Jan was playing for me and I'm watching this, I'm like, wait a minute. That guy, he was a guy. He
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I was sitting behind a big screen, a big table with my cat, and I was thinking of
world domination.
Can't refuse and out.
Yeah, well, Jan, you've said it now. It's on the record. So if you do become a manager, they'll all be looking. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us on the latest edition of Extra Time. From myself, Kay Murray, Ali Moreno and Jan Agafyortov, thanks for being with us. Don't forget, ESPN FC is available daily on ESPN+.